Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Hallelujah. His goodness is following us. His goodness is running after us. The Lord is good. In all things, He is good. In all situations, He's good. Hallelujah. He is good. I don't know what you're going through, but whatever it is, I have good news for you. It is good. God is good. Hallelujah. He is good. That's all I can tell you. His steadfast love endures forever. Let's enter into the word of the Lord. Father, we pray that King of Kings, as we dine this evening with at your table, Lord, that you will give us, oh Father, Lord, revelations of your word, my Father. The entrance of your word will enlighten our souls, my King of Kings, and we'll know you more, and we'll believe you more, and we'll love you more. King of Kings, anoint my tongue to speak, and anoint my sisters and brothers to hear your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we pray, and all say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, we are living in strange times, very, very strange times. You know, things are happening all over the place. People are going to be with the Lord. You know, this week we lost many, many people in this country, of course, and all over the globe. And especially for those of you who hail from Uganda, you know that we have been hit by a spike in death. We want to commiserate with our sister, Jane Nalugwa, who lost her mother yesterday. You know, may the Lord richly touch you, Jane, wherever you are. We are praying that the Lord Himself may comfort you in His own power. Nobody can say words enough to comfort you, Jane. We also have a friend of ours, very good friend of Shiloh Tabernacle, Dr. Dennis Sempewa, who lost his mother as well. Dr. Dennis, may the Lord strengthen you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. May He touch your heart, you and your families, not only you, but you and your entire families. May the Lord comfort you. And many, many people. Today we learned about one of our sons, Isaac Kimboa, lost his grandmother, mother to Kathy Kasuja. Isaac's mom and the siblings. We pray that the Lord strengthens you, and many, many more out there that we do not know. You are here. You are going through thick and thin. Others are in hospitals. We pray that the God of healing touches them. May He touch every lung. May He touch every organ that is suffering right now in Jesus' mighty name. We send the healing word of God in whatever hospital they are, in this country, in Africa, in Asia, in Australia, all over the world. We send His healing virtue in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we continue to pray COVID out of our community, because that is not who we are. Social distancing is not our portion in Jesus' mighty name. We break its power. We break wherever it came from. We burn it at its roots and command it not to spread anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And having said that, we need to continue to observe, you know, the standard operation procedures, so that we know prevention is better than cure. We know that. Hallelujah. And the Lord will bless you. So in these situations, you know, when people get too overwhelmed, they tend to lose hope. They tend to lose hope in people. They tend to lose hope in God. Right now, many people are asking themselves many questions. There are more questions than answers. And, you know, the other day we were saying, if we knew God's address, if we knew God's address right now, I don't know how many people would be at His door or at His gate knocking and demanding answers. But when we meet Him, we'll know. The Bible says that we prophesy in part, but when we see Him, we will know in full. When we get to Him, to our Lord, we'll know what He was up to. He is the potter at the end of the day, and we are the clay. Hallelujah. But this evening, I just came to speak about confident hope. Just want to encourage somebody. Just keep hoping in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. Just hope. Hope means more than a vague wish that something will happen. You know, it's more than a wish. Hope is a sure and confident expectation in God's future faithfulness and presence. Expectation in God's future, you know, presence, in God's future faithfulness. You have that faith. We need to have that hope. We need to keep that hope. Whatever the devil throws at us, we need to ensure that we keep the hope. Wherever you are, keep the hope. Hallelujah. The horizon, or the scale, or the scope of Christian hope, it extends beyond death. Extends beyond death and into eternity. Eternity that was prepared by God himself before the foundations of the world. So for those of us that have lost relatives, those of us that have lost our mothers, those of us that have lost our papas, our uncles, our brothers, our sisters, hey, there is hope. There is hope after the grave. The grave is not just a full stop. It's just a comma. Hallelujah. There's hope that we will behold our loved ones again. Our hope transcends death. It transcends the grave. It goes to eternity. So right now, you need to be eyeing eternity more than, you know, you are eyeing what is around you. Eye eternity. Look far. Hope in the Lord. Lift up your hope around, lift it around, over all these things that may be crumbling. There is hope. There is a hope that cannot crumble. That is eternity. Hallelujah. Keep believing in the Lord. Hope is the reality of which is guaranteed by Christ. It is a reality. It is a reality. You will touch it. You will behold it. Hallelujah. Somebody once said that if you could convince a man that there was no hope, he would curse the day he was born. We are the reason people still breathe. Of course, it's God. But people have got a way, have got a free will to take their lives. Some people commit suicide. But people who do not commit suicide, you know why we don't commit suicide? Is because we have hope for tomorrow. We have hope for tomorrow. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm talking about. Do not lose that hope. Hope, my friend, is an indispensable quality of life. It is a quality that you must hang on to. It is something that you must covet and fight for. Never lose hope. Don't lose hope, even in this situation, even in this bereavement, even in this sickness. Do not lose hope. Like I said, even if somebody dies, do not. Our hope transcends death. So if death is just, you know, is not something that should take away your hope in God, because you know that a person has just it's been translated into glory. That's what we believe. Hallelujah. You believe that? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4. What does the Bible say? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4. This is what it says. But he who is joined with all the living has hope. As long as you are with the living, you have hope. He says, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. Did you hear that? A living dog is better than a dead lion. And how do you live? You live when you have hope. The hope I'm talking about is living hope. Do you understand? Some people have already died. They haven't just made it. They haven't made it official yet. Just like one of my mentors says, they have already died, but they haven't made it official. You know how they die? They die when you lose hope. When you lose hope, you die. That's why he said, I don't care how powerful you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how strong you are. A lion. Look at a lion. Juxtapose a lion with a dog. But the Bible has just said that a living dog is better than a dead lion. A dead lion is a lion that lost hope. But a dog, you know, he has got hope that tomorrow it will eat. Hallelujah. So we have hope. Hope in the Lord, child of God. Become confident in the Lord. Become confident in Jesus. Build your hope on Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. All these other things are sinking ground, my friend. Confident hope is what we are talking about. A man called Charles Allen said, when you say a situation or a person is hopeless, you are slamming a door in the face of God. Did you hear that? When you say a person is hopeless, you are abusing the Creator. Because the Creator is not a hopeless God. He is a God of hope. He's a God, you know, who, a living God. When you say a situation is hopeless, you are slamming a door in the face of God. Like I said earlier, people who commit suicide are people who have lost hope. Now, hope is a major weapon against suicide. It is a major weapon against the impulse of suicide. People who commit suicide or jump off bridges are people who have lost hope. But you, my friend, cannot lose it. You're going to hold on to hope. You're going to hold on to it because it is a weapon. It is a weapon. Confident hope, not just hope, but confident hope. If you have no hope today, or it has died within you, you can receive a living hope today. You can receive a living hope this evening in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Receive it. Hallelujah. There's a Danish proverb which says, things never go so well that no one should have no fear. No, so ill that no one should have no hope. Things should never go so bad that you lose hope. Things should never go south, you know, that you lose hope. Well, however south they go, always cling to hope. Have confident hope. Knowing that tomorrow is going to be better. This pandemic, my friend, will pass. It will pass. This season in which we are, it will pass. We have hope in the Lord. We have hope in the God of life that it will pass in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody say amen wherever you are. Just type in amen in that chat if you are on the chat. Come on, let me know that you are there. Say amen. Hallelujah. In an old inn in Switzerland, there was this inscription, which if translated from German, reads, when you think everything is hopeless, a little ray of light comes from somewhere. When you think that everything is hopeless, he says, this inscription says, when you think everything else is hopeless, everything is hopeless, somehow there is a little ray of light that comes from somewhere. And I can guarantee you that there is a ray of hope. There is a radiance of hope that is about to come in that dark situation of yours in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, yes, yes. A radiance of hope. Hallelujah. Another man called Chesterton said, there is one thing which gives radiance to everything. It is the idea that something, that there is something around the corner. There is something around the corner. Can I guarantee to somebody this evening that there is something around the corner? There is something around that pain. There is something around, just around. A few months, a few days, a few hours, there is something. There is radiance of hope. There is a ray of hope. All you need is a ray. Hallelujah. There is a ray of hope. Listen. There's nothing like hopeless situations. They are only hopeless people. There's nothing like hopeless situations. They are only hopeless people. And this evening, you and I refuse to be hopeless people. The situations, whatever they are, we know that there is a ray of hope. There's around the corner. There's something around the corner. It's not going to be like this always. No. Somebody once said there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. They have grown hopeless about them. You have waited and waited. Somebody here, you have waited for a long time. You have waited for this miracle. You have waited for marriage. You have waited for this business to grow. You have waited and waited. Somebody, you have waited for your papers to come through in the home office, and you have lost hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, may your hope be rekindled in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Let your hope be rekindled. Is somebody listening to me? Listen, number one, God and Jesus Christ are the hope of believers. God and Jesus Christ are the hope of believers. Without God, we are hopeless. Without Jesus Christ, we are hopeless. This is what the psalmist says in Psalm 71. 71. Let's read Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 5. This is what he says. Listen, he says, "For you, O Lord, are my hope. You are my trust, O Lord." From when? From youth. This means this man is writing about this scripture when he's old. Some of us have got hope in the Lord, and when, you know, we come to some age, we lose hope. You know why we lose hope? Because we think we are getting older. Oh my God, look at this gray hair. I haven't built a house. I haven't done that. I haven't got married. You begin to lose hope. He says, this man is saying, I have done what? I have hoped you. I have hoped in you. You are my hope. You are my trust. When? From when? From my youth. What have you lost in? You had some hope in when you were younger. Somebody on this line. You had some hope regarding something, but now you lost hope in that very thing. That is the very thing I've come to resurrect in Jesus' mighty name. May it resurrect in the name of Jesus. May it resurrect in the name above every other name. Jesus Christ is our hope. As long as you have Jesus Christ in you, you must be hopeful. He's our hope. This is how Paul writes about him. Paul, an apostle, as he's writing to Timothy, this is what he says. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. He is our hope. He is your hope. He is my hope. Hallelujah. As long as I have him in my heart, I have hope. Listen to how Matthew quotes Prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah had spoken about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and this is how he spoke about him. He says, Jesus Christ will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flask he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. And in his name, Gentiles will trust. Other versions say, in his name, Gentiles will hope. Our hope is who? Is in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Hope in Jesus Christ. As long as you have him, as long as you have him in your heart, you cannot lose hope. Amen. Paul again writes about him in Romans chapter 15, verse 12 to 13. And this is what he says. Again, this is Isaiah. They are quoting Isaiah. So the root of Jesse will come. This is a man who wrote about Jesus Christ many years before he appeared on the scene. My goodness. How I wish God would continue speaking to us like he spoke to these men. He says the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him they will have hope. In him they will have hope. In who? In Jesus Christ. That's where we have our hope. Verse 13. May the God, it's a prayer, this is our prayer this evening, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In all joy and peace in believing. Why? So that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is a spiritual thing, my friend. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us with hope. Jesus Christ. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, fill me with hope. Let me abound in hope. Abounding means that you are increasing in hope. While others are losing, while others their vessels are leaking, you know, they are oozing, you know, hope. Their tanks have got holes in them. The devil has punched holes in them with doubt here and there. For you, even when the situation gets even worse, even when it gets worse, what do? You are increasing. Why? Because your hope is in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is filling you even more and more and more and more. Hallelujah. Peter, after he has received the Holy Spirit, let's first talk about Paul. Paul is in prison. And the reason he's in prison is because of hope. Because he has walked away, he has turned away from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the hope of the world, and he has put his hope in Jesus, whom he has never seen. And this is how he puts it in Acts chapter 28, verse 20. It's what he says. He says, "For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and to speak with you." He's now before the council. He's before the rulers. He's before the men who think they know. He says, "Since it is because of the hope of Israel," you know why? "It's because of the hope of Israel, that I am wearing this chain. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am in prison. So I wanted to see you." Because you see, when they paraded him before the Romans, the Romans examined him and found that he did not deserve to die. So what did they do? They released him. They decided to release him. But the Jews opposed him. His fellow men, can you imagine? Fellow Christians put, how at times we fellow Christians pull one another down. His very people opposed, and he appealed to Caesar. Why is Paul in chains? Why is Paul a prisoner? Paul is a prisoner because he has hope in Jesus. The enemy does not want you to have hope in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. No. He wants you to be terrified. And he says, I am before you guys, not for anything. I haven't killed a person. But I am here because of the hope of Israel. Who's the hope of Israel? Jesus. The hope of Israel, the hope of Christians is not a thing. It's a person. Jesus. You have Jesus in you. As long as Jesus is in you, my friend, you have hope for tomorrow. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Hallelujah. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, that's why we are toiling. That's why we are laboring. That's what he says. He says, for to this end, we toil and strive. Why? Because we have our hope set on the living God. My God. They are not toiling for nothing. We are not toiling for nothing. Child of God, you are not toiling for nothing. You are not in this for nothing. You are in this because you have set your hope on not a dead God, but a living hope, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? If you believe, if you are a believer, then set your hope on the living God. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Our God is not dead. Our God is not dead. He is alive. And that's why Peter begins to tell us why Jesus died. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19, he pens words that show us why Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ died that you may have hope in him. Hallelujah. He says, know that you were redeemed from what? From the futile ways of life inherited from our ancestors. Jesus Christ came to redeem us from the futile ways that we inherited from our ancestors. And how did he do it? Not with the perishable things like silver or gold. No, but with the precious blood of Jesus. With the precious blood of Jesus. Like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb, who was foreknown before the foundation of the world. My friend, all these things are not just happening right now. These things were foreknown. They were before the foundations of the world. But has been revealed in these last times for you who through him are believers. It is for you. Are you a believer? These things are happening for you. Believers in God. The God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and gave him glory. Why? So that your faith and hope are in God. That's why Jesus Christ died. That your faith and hope should be in God, not in idols, not in men, not in money. You see, if your hope and faith is in money because you are earning a lot, or because you know you have lots of properties or lost or lots of stuff, you know, and you are building on that, you are hoping on that, one day they can crumble because they are not living. The only living one is God. That's why Jesus Christ died, that you may be translated, may be redeemed from those things that were that you inherited from our ancestors, you and I, so that we may have faith, our faith and hope may be in God. Our confidence should be in God. Do you understand, child of God? Let me tell you, everything you have right now could disappear, could crumble, but as long as you have faith in God, as long as you have hope in God, you could get even more than you lost. And we know that. How do we know? We have seen in the Bible. The man Job lost everything. Completely lost his children, everything. Children, property. In one day. In one day, all these things can crumble. But he hoped in the Lord. Even his wife told him, why are you wasting your time with this God? Do you understand? He hoped in the Lord. He says, I know that my Redeemer does what? He lives. He's not dead. My Redeemer is not dead. As long as your Redeemer is alive, child of God, whatever you lose, you will get a double portion. You will get a triple portion. He has got the power to bring it back, because he's the one who created them in the first place. So how can you hope in the created and not hope in the Creator? There would be something that's not right. Let our confidence be in God. Let our hope be in God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. This is how Peter writes again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. This is what he says. He says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Who caused you to? He caused us. We did not make ourselves, you know, born again. He caused us. This is a causation. He caused us. I thank God that he caused me to be born again, because there are many guys that I grew up with. They died. Some of them, I don't know where they are, but he caused me to be born again. Again to a what? To a living hope. You are born again to a living hope, my friend, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus Christ had remained in the grave, then we would not have hope. But we have hope because he resurrected. Hallelujah. And he caused me to be born again into a living hope. To an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading. Where is it? It's kept in heaven for you. Who by God's power, he says, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I am born again to a living hope. I don't know about you. Living hope. One important aspect of this new life that we are talking about, of Christianity, is hope. A Christian, you cannot say that you have hope. You know? You cannot say that you don't have hope and call yourself a Christian. It can't happen. It cannot, unless you were born again to something else. But if we have been born into the living hope, then how can you say you don't have hope? I have hope. Listen, remember I said in the beginning that the hope we are talking about transcends death. It transcends the grave. So if for you, you are still talking about this grave here, all this life, or something, somebody's gone, you are still in the hope of the mundane. I'm talking about hope, living hope that never dies. A living hope, not a dead one. And it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that makes a Christian's hope alive. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that makes a Christian's hope strong. How do you remain strong even when the waves are raging? How do you do that? That is why when he's in the boat with his disciples there, and the wage and the storms begin to rise, and the windstorms are raging. What is Jesus Christ doing? He is sleeping. Why? Because he is alive. He is the living hope, and they did not know it. They did not know it. And that's how most Christians we are today. We have him in the boat, but we are panicking. You are panicking. How can the waters that were created by the Creator sink him? He is unsinkable. And as long as he is in your boat, you must be unsinkable. You are unshakable. In the he's in the boat and he's asleep. He taught them a lesson. The moment you get in, as long as in the boat, sleep. Sleep. Anxiety is not your portion. Anxiety will take away is a devil that sniffs out your hope. It punches a hole in your hope tank. You understand? How much hope is in your tank? Do you understand? We have been regenerated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we were raised from a dead hope to a living hope. My hope is alive. As long as he is in the boat, I will not be shaken by the waves. You don't not be shaken. Yes, you know, you lost your mother. She went to be. We prayed and prayed. You lost your uncle. You lost your brother. But we have hope beyond the grave. That is the hope I'm talking about today. Beyond the now. Beyond this that we see. Beyond. I have hope to see them. I have hope to behold them. You must have that living hope. Let your hope transcend death. Somebody say amen. But Pastor, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Listen, I'm just speaking the word of God. Let us raise our hope. Say, Lord, increase my hope in you. Hallelujah. I'm talking about an expectation that has life in it. An expectation that is breathing. The hope is breathing. It's not dead. It's breathing. This is living hope, my friend. It has a life in itself. It gives life and has life as its object. It does not perish like the hope of this world, but it lives on. It lives on in ever fuller joy until it reaches consummation in heaven, in eternity. This does not end here. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you. Do not limit your eyes, your hope on earth. Go into eternity. This is because the living resurrected Jesus Christ is alive in us. That is our living hope. He is our living hope. Our hope is Jesus. And when we are joined with him, in his death and in his resurrection, he begins to live inside of us forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Forever. Therefore, we shall not live like those who have no hope. I refuse to live like those who have no hope. Do you understand? Nor shall we die as those who have no hope. Because my Bible tells me, Jesus Christ said, those who believe in him, although they die, they do not what? They don't die. There's nothing like death for a believer. No. That's the hope I'm talking about. Therefore, do not fear. There's a lot of fear around. Fear is for the hopeless. I repeat, fear is for the hopeless. But a man and a woman who is filled of living hope cannot be terrified, not even death. That's why Paul says, what shall we say to all these things? Go read your Bible. Romans 8, it talks about death. Shall death defeat us? Shall we be worried about death? No. The things that are surrounding us today? No. Tribulation? He says nothing can separate me from that living hope. So it's not even the things to come. I don't know what else would come. We are suffering with the coronavirus. I don't know what else will come in the future. But it's not even that one. I have my hope. And listen, even when our people have gone to be with the Lord, the Bible says we cannot mourn as those who do not have hope. Hallelujah. This is what Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. These the people in Thessalonica, they were good Christians. They were powerful men and women of God. And at that time, many people were dying among them. And they were wondering what's going on. Once we die, what happens? Is that it? But this is what he wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4 to 13. He says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. He's not saying don't grieve. You grieve, but you grieve with hope because we have lost a loved one. Loved one. The Message Bible says, and regarding, let me see if you can get, and regarding the question, friends, because they had a question that has come up about what happens to those who are already dead and buried. It says, we do not want you in the dark any longer. No. It says, first off, you must not carry on over them like those who have nothing to look forward to. We will cry, we will weep, we will grieve. That is okay, and it's natural, because a loved one has gone. But listen, we do not do it like the others. We have hope. It says, as if the grave were the last word. The grave is not the last word. The grave is not the last word. I repeat, the grave is not the last word. The grave is not a full stop. Why? Because Jesus Christ died. And he broke loose from the grave. Hallelujah. That's the living hope I'm talking about. There is a Muhammad somewhere. Muhammad's bones somewhere in the Middle East. But there are no bones of Jesus Christ in any grave. No. He is alive. He is my hope. He is alive. And the God who rose him up from the dead will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Christ. Do you understand that, child of God? We have hope. In God, we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope in the resurrection and eternal life. You must live with that hope in you. That is the living hope I'm talking about, the living hope that cannot be taken out by any situation. No. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did not believe in the resurrection. He didn't believe in him, in the resurrection. And Paul, who was once a Pharisee, he sees these guys and begins to wonder. In Acts chapter 23, verse 6, is what he says. And when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, is what happened. The Bible says he cried out to the council. He says, brothers, I am a Pharisee. A son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope and resurrection of the dead that I am on trial. Do you understand? He is on trial. Why? Because of the hope and resurrection of the dead. So your hope must transcend the grave. It must transcend the now. It must transcend the debt. It must transcend the sickness. It must transcend the home office, you know, whatever it is doing. It must transcend that job that has gone. It must transcend that relationship that has gone south. It must transcend that. You must have that knowledge in you. Hallelujah. This is what Paul writes as he's writing to Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. He says, Paul, a servant an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. He is an apostle for the sake of the faith of God's elect, we and our knowledge in the truth. We have to have knowledge in the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of what? Of eternal life. Which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Before the ages began, this was promised. He never lies. He never lies. Before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word. His word, who is the word? Jesus Christ, the word, through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. Hallelujah. May we know the truth. May it be cemented in our spirits. A living hope. A living hope. Peter, after receiving the Holy Spirit, after Pentecost has come, you know, he was timid and had been hiding, you know, with the rest of the disciples because the Jews wanted to kill them. But as the power of God comes upon him, he receives living hope. He receives living hope. And this is what he does as he begins to preach in Acts chapter 2. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's telling these people about Jesus Christ. He says, God raised him up. He raised Jesus up, losing the pangs of death. Why? Because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Child of God, it's not possible for you to be held by death. It's not possible for you to be held by anything as long as you have the living hope in you. And that's a fact. That's a truth. That is a truth. Let me walk away from facts. That is the truth. That's what Paul was said. Paul told us earlier as he was writing in Titus that he has been called, he has been commissioned, he has been commanded as an apostle to bring forth those truths. You understand? He was raised from the dead because it was impossible for him to be held by it. Verse 25 says, for David says concerning him, these men, I don't know what food they were eating, but he could see far. He says, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. I want you to see that always. I want, whenever you hit a rock, whenever you hit a wall, you need to be like David, who sees the Lord at your right hand, that you may not be shaken by the situation. I will not be shaken. Why will I not be shaken? Because the Lord is always, he's not there on Monday only, he's not there, and then, you know, he comes on Saturday. No, he's there always before me. So at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. That's what he says in verse 26. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. When is he rejoicing? He's not rejoicing when the miracle happens. He's not rejoicing when the breakthrough happens. No, he rejoices because of the fact that he knows a revelation has come to him, and he knows that he's not alone. Child of God, you are not alone. He said in his word, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall not fear no evil, because he's there with you in the name above every other name. Mandel in Isaiah 43 says, though you walk through the valley, the waters, the rivers, the fires, they will not consume you. Why? Because he is with you. And David got that revelation. He says, because I know that, oh my God, now I am going to lift my eyes over these things that are surrounding me. Like Paul says, what shall we say to these things? This is a heart that has a revelation, a heart that has been, to which a revelation has come, that they are not alone. And therefore, he begins a party. You party, you begin to praise not when the visa comes. You begin to praise not, you don't wait for the wedding. No. You don't wait for the debt cancellation. You don't wait for the healing. You begin to praise him right now. Your heart has got to be glad, and your tongue has got to rejoice, and your flesh also has got to dwell in hope. That's why he says, my hope also will, my flesh also will dwell in what? In hope. My flesh will dwell in hope. Listen, this has gone even far, not only in the heart, but even in the flesh now. Even the flesh is in hope. Why? For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, he said. He will not leave you alone. He will not leave you in that scenario. No. David got a revelation, and he knew that God is always with him. The Lord is always with you. Child of God, the Lord is always with you. He is always with you. And that is how we are saved, because of that hope. That is the hope that saves us. That's the hope that makes the difference between me and the man and the woman that does not know Christ. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. For in this hope we were born again. Which one? The living hope. Now, he says, now hope that is seen is not hope. If it is there, you can see it there. Why should you hope for it? I'm talking about something that you cannot see. For who hopes for what he sees? He asks. How can you hope for what something that you already see? Hallelujah. He continues to write to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 19. This is what he says. In Christ, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, that's what I've been trying to tell you all along. If in Christ we have hope only in this life, then we are to be most pitied. A Christian who only has hope only here, you are to be pitied. I have hope beyond here. I have hope beyond this life. You must have hope beyond this life, my friend, because there is something that the Lord has prepared for you. Mandele bosika rabrazonde. He said, I go to my Father to prepare what? Mansions. I don't care what you are living in here. That one is just is a tempro. But I have a mansion, my friend. I don't know whether you will be my neighbor. I don't know whether I will be your neighbor, but I have that hope. My hope is beyond the here and now. It's beyond this body. It's beyond this pain. It's beyond this debt. It is beyond. I am an heir or heir according to hope. I have hope that I have an inheritance in heaven. Listen to what Paul writes to Titus. He says, so that being justified by his grace, we may become heirs, how? According to the hope of eternal life. Ooh, I am an heir because of eternal, according, in line with eternal life. My hope is in according to eternal life. That is why I must hope until the end. That's why I cannot lose hope. That's why you must not lose hope. Whatever the enemy has thrown in your palm or your lap, whatever he has thrown, do not lose hope. Don't lose hope. Do you understand? Because your hope must transcend the now. That is confident faith. Hallelujah. And this is how the writer of Hebrews puts it. He says, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope. Until when? Until the end. Until the end. Not only in January and in February, and until the end. That is what I'm talking about. Confident hope. Immovable hope. Unchangeable hope. Unshakable hope. Let no situation steal away your hope. Rather, your hope should draw you closer to God, the living hope. Hallelujah. This is what the writer of Hebrews continues to say in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. It says, for the law made nothing perfect. That's why Jesus Christ came. The law made nothing what? Perfect. But because of Jesus Christ, it says, on the other hand, a better hope is introduced. Ooh, a better hope is introduced. I belong to a better hope, Mande Rebroshika, through which we draw near to God. You cannot grow near to God if you do not have that hope. Hopeless people are people who are very far away from God. You cannot be near God and be hopeless. It is impossible. It is not, you cannot be near God and be hopeless. It's like you cannot be near a heater and be cold. There will be something wrong in the body. You cannot be near the sun and feel cold. That is impossible. You cannot be near God, child of God, and be hopeless. Never. If a person, when the sign that you are hopeless and the sign when you are hopeless, it's a sign that you are away from God. When you are full of fear, full of anxiety, it is a sign. I tell you, it is a sign that you are away from God. That is a sign. It's a wake-up call for you to go, to draw closer to Him, to seek Him like never before. So say, Lord, I am coming back. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have hope of a future glory. It doesn't matter how grim your life looks right now. It doesn't matter the pain that you are going through right now. There is hope in the future. Not just in the future, but future glory. Hallelujah. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 5, verse 2. And this is what he says. He says, through him, through who? Through the living hope. Through Jesus Christ. He says, through him, we have also obtained access. Access, we have access through him. This is not for everybody. This is for those who believe in him. That is how you access it. See, through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace. We have obtained. I have it. You have it. Do you understand? We have obtained access. How? By faith. Where? Into this grace in which we stand. I am here preaching. I am here teaching because I have obtained access. By faith, not by works. Into this grace in which I stand. I am here by the grace of God. And listen, on top of that, he says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You need to be rejoicing right now. Shake off those clothes of anxiety, those clothes of fear, and begin to rejoice for the hope of glory, for the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, Paul is still writing. Paul wrote about hope a lot. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. This is what he says. To them, who? You and I. How lucky are we? To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That hope is Christ in you. Do you have Christ in you? Then you have the hope of glory. Again, he writes to Titus in chapter 2, verse 3. And he says, he talks about waiting for our blessed hope. I need to be waiting for my blessed hope. That the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, this is not only talking about, you know, when he appears finally, because that we know he will appear. But even in this situation that you are in, he is appearing. The Lord is appearing, is appearing in Jesus' mighty name. And listen, the glory that is about to come to you is not even near being compared to the present suffering. The present pain is not near the glory that God is about to reveal in you. How do I know? From Paul. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. This is what he says. I love this man. He says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. That is the truth. Hallelujah. The sufferings of this present time are not worth. You can't even bring them. You know, juxtapose them. You can't even begin to compare. No. They are miles apart. They are light years apart. Why? It says for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So, you need to know that the suffering that you are going through right now is incomparable to the glory that is coming your way. The kabod of God. Glory means the weight of God. The kabod of God is coming to you in a special way. That's why I am praying as I bring this to a close, that the Lord will enlighten your hearts, just like Paul, Paul writes to the Ephesians, that he will enlighten your heart. His word will bring light into your life, into your hearts, and you may know the hope in him. That you may know it. So he writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read from verse 17. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. We need the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him. This is revealed. This hope that we are talking about is revealed. It's revealed. May the Lord reveal it to you. May he reveal it to me. How? He says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened. May they be open. May they receive light. They have been in the dark. They could not see the left from the right. But from now on, may they be enlightened with the light of God, with the word of God, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called. Do you understand, child of God? The hope to which you have been called. The glorious riches of an inheritance that are waiting for his saints, for you. The immeasurable greatness of power towards every believer. How? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all authority and rule and power and dominion, above everything that has a name. That is the living hope I'm talking about. May your hearts, the eyes of your hearts, be enlightened. Do you understand? Let them be enlightened so that you may know that he will come and save you. He will come in that situation. He will come. He will not leave you alone. David says that he will not leave my soul in hell. He cannot. Paul writes again to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but since we belong to the day, let us sober up. Let us sober up. Let us sober up. Let us not be drunk on pain, be drunk on doubt, be drunk on the things that we see right now. Let us sober up, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. Put on the breast, first and foremost, sober up. Sober up. Let us get out of that drunken stupor, the stupor of anxiety, the stupor of fear, the stupor of all these things that the devil throws at us, that we may put on the breastplate of faith. Remember, the breastplate of faith is that which, you know, extinguishes the fiery darts of the enemy, because he's always shooting a doubt. It says, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, your mind, my mind, put on the hope of salvation. Put on the hope of salvation, child of God. Hope is a Christian virtue that you and I must covet. The trials and the tribulations in life that we are going through have got a purpose. The Bible says they are there to produce hope. Whatever you are going through is there to produce hope. How do I know? Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. This is what he says. He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Paul is a serious character. We rejoice what? In our sufferings. Some people, you know, in the sufferings, we think the sufferings are there to kill us. No, whatever God allows in your life is not to kill you. No. He says we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we have this knowledge, knowing that suffering produces endurance. It produces endurance. When you look at the soldiers or the Navy SEALs or these, whatever, the Marines, they are trained. The way they train them. If you find that somebody training them, you think they hate them. They don't hate them. What are they trying to do? They are producing endurance in them. Somebody can get into the water, you know, without breath for about 30 minutes. How does he do that? And when they are training them, they tie their legs, they tie their hands, and they put them in the water. They're producing endurance. And says endurance produces character, and character produces hope. All these things are working to produce hope. Hallelujah. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So now, faith, these three, faith, hope, and love abide. They abide. Those ones have got to abide. Faith, hope, and love. Do you understand, child of God? That's why he writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, and says, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. How? I thought I should be rejoicing when the miracle is here. No, you rejoice in hope. You rejoice in in expectation of the glory of God. I'm rejoicing in the hope that I will that I'm gonna have that money, that I'm gonna have that blessing. I'm rejoicing in that hope. I have hope. If you don't have hope, you won't rejoice. That's why some people don't praise. They only praise when the miracle comes. You are late. You are late. I praise even before it is here because I have hope. Shall be patient in tribulation and constant in prayer. I have hope. That's why I'm rejoicing now. Ooh, I am rejoicing right now. Do you understand? This is a prayer that Paul prays for the church at Rome. It says, may the God of all hope, this is my prayer this evening to you, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May he fill you with all, not some, with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If indeed you continue in faith and stable, steadfast, not shifting from hope of the gospel that you have heard, the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which is proclaimed in all creation under heaven, then you know you will become a minister. He's saying you don't have to be shifting, oscillating from hope to doubt. Hope. No. Be steadfast. Be confident in that hope. Whatever he is throwing at you, the enemy I'm talking about, the effect of a future hope on my living today, on your living today, is that it makes you a fighter. It makes you a fighter. You've got to be a fighter. Fight for that hope. Fight for that hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. Let's prepare our minds for action. And being sober-minded, he's talking about sobriety again. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully, not a quarter, not half, not one-eighth, but fully, your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. What is it that is staring you in the face? What is it that is threatening you? I have news for you. Hope in the living hope, because he will deliver you. Hope in him. Hope in him. He will deliver you. He will deliver you. Now to those of us that are in bereavement right now, speaking to you, Jane, I'm speaking to you, Dr. Dennis, I'm speaking to you, the Kimbowas and the Kasujas and others out there that we do not know, wherever you are. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 10. This is what he says. It's a long scripture you're going to read, but I want us to have it because it's very crucial. He says, the God of all comfort, be blessed. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of mercies and the God of comfort. He is comforting you in your affliction, so that you also may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the same comfort that he himself has comforted you with. In verse 5 it says, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in the comfort too. You hear that? It says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. This is Paul saying, and salvation, and it's for it. And if we are comforted, it's for your comfort. Because Paul went through thick and thin, right? We read Paul. We read all those. He's a man who was under intense, you know, pressure. It says, you have got to patiently endure the sufferings that we suffer. Patient. It says in verse 7, our hope for you is unshaken. My hope for you is unshaken. For he says, for we know that as you will share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. He says, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. There's somebody right now, you have been so burdened by despair, by problems, and you are despairing at life itself. He says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. He came to a point of thinking that he had received the sentence of death. He says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on the God who raises the dead. All these things come that we may not rely on these other things that we see, that we may rely on the God who raises the dead, the one who delivers from deadly perils or deadly pestilences. He will deliver us. He will deliver us from this pandemic. He will deliver us. He will deliver us. He will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what we call confident hope. I leave you with Isaiah 35 verse 4. To those with an anxious heart this evening, those consumed with fear, behold, the Lord your God will come with a vengeance, with recompense, and he will come and save you. He will come for you. Daddy is coming for you. Heavenly Father is coming for you. Lift up those hands wherever you are. Close those eyes wherever you are. If you had lost hope, this evening receive the hope. Say, Lord, fill me with your hope. Spirit of the living God, fill me with your hope. May he fill you again. May he fill you again. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, I lift up your children wherever they are. Whether in the UK, in Africa, wherever they are watching from, my Father, Lord, I am praying, King of Kings, that you will increase their hope. Increase their faith, my Father. Resurrect that hope, that living hope, King of Kings, that they will not waver because of the situations, because of the pain. King of Kings, that they will have hope in you. Those who are mourning right now, those who have lost their loved ones, my Father, Lord, may they have that hope that they will see their loved ones again. In the name of Jesus Christ, comfort them with your comfort in the name above every other name. Father, we stand in the living hope. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask all this through the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And somebody shouts, Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time.